Jimmy's home.
Welcome to Free Fire Radio. The phone lines are open at 221-1402. And now, Free Fire Radio.
It's about to commence on News Talk 1400 KQMS.
Good morning, North State. Welcome to Free Fire Radio here on News Talk 1400 KQMS. Carl Linda Botner, our phone lines here, 221-1402. You're getting a little buzzy sound, you switch over to 1670. If you're calling us out of the area, the number is 1-800-521-1989. Joined today in the studio, of course, by Frosty.
Good morning.
Are you up there, Frosty?
What do you mean?
Are you ready?
I'm always ready.
Are you cleared hot?
Yeah.
Okay.
Are you
ready, ready to roll in?
Yeah.
Guns ready.
I didn't make coffee this morning, so
I noticed that.
Ooh,
yeah. This is like, you know.
You weren't lethargic though.
Yeah, but you know who made coffee for me this morning? My little soulmate here, Linda.
Good morning. Wanted to thank too. You know, I always like to start off the day with gratitude and thank you for Reading Will and Break, Jim and Jeff over there. The reason I'm saying this is, you know, of course I took my car in to get the brakes fixed and then you took your car in to get the brakes fixed and found out you didn't really need to get them done. But in the meantime.
Now, I don't need to get them done as long as I drive them. But if you drive it, I probably should get it in there next week.
But meanwhile, I have a brake light that's going out and I just want to thank the guys over there. They just ordered the light. When we came back to get the truck, they fixed it. Said, have a great day. You know, when things like that happen, it reminds you of the good old days.
You know, it's small town America in many ways still in this city, and that's why you got to love it. I mean, that people do nice things for you. You know, we talk about, we got some horrible news, you know people getting, you know, that one man, poor man being murdered. You get news about the economy and all that. But, you know, here's the thing. Reading is a nice place. There are a lot of great people living here that care about each other.
Well, so you can't say gone are the days when you used to look somebody in the eye when they shook your hand. You look them in the eye. I mean, I grew up with this. Your word is your wand. It's your honor, your word. So when you say you're going to do something, I'm so adamant about this. When you say you're going to do something, you do it. Even if you can't do it, you call and say, you know what? I know this is what I said, but blah, blah, blah. A quick story here really fast. Can you imagine what it was like to feel that, you know, two women have children at the same time, of course. This is 56 years ago. And a woman, the babies are taken off and they're bathed and they come back. And one of the women is nursing her child and she's thinking, this is not my child. This is not my baby. Now, I think, very interesting how we as creatures, a mother would know that this is not my child, even though probably seconds after the child was born, the baby was born, was taken back into the ward in those days. Well, 56 years later, they found out both of these women are 86 years old. They were switched at birth. And the truth came out.
The mothers are 86 years. Or the children are
86. Children are 86.
The children are 86?
Yep.
They were switched.
86-year-old woman knew his mother had also lived next door to the Angel family. So 53 years ago they were born.
Right.
Am I confused?
I sure am.
Or are you just calling me on the carpet this
morning? No.
My numbers straight.
No, I...
Yeah, you are.
Okay, it was 56 years ago they got switched, though, right? You know, the thing was, is how can you tell? But they found out, I guess, by the footprints that they took.
Okay, I'm incorrect. In 1953, which is my brother's age.
Right. There you go.
Who's going to be 56, yes. Had been given the wrong baby after the nurses returned from bathing the two newborns, but concerns were brushed off.
Well, you know.
So they were 86-year-old mothers. Hello.
Okay. Carl Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio. News Talk 1400 KQMS.
Husband and wife team.
Join us if you have the courage to come back. We've got a great... Hey, welcome back to Free Fire Radio here on News Talk 1400 KQMS. Carl Lundabot, the phone line's here, 221-1402. Hey, look, our guest today, he's been here before, and we really, really like having him here. It's Dr. Brian O'Neill. He's the director of the Northern California Healthcare System for the Veterans Administration, and he's here to give us an update. And we've got a number of subjects we want to talk to him about. And if there's any questions you have, please give us a call here at 221-1402 concerning veterans health care.
Doctor, I think our listeners would love to hear your story and how you had the calling of working for and with the VA and your father. Do you mind sharing that with us?
Not at all. First, I want to thank Carl and Linda for inviting me back. It's always a privilege to come back and speak to our Reading listeners about the VA services. Linda, I was sharing with you that my father was a 20-year-old transplant to California from Detroit in 1942. And, of course, he enlisted in the Navy. He thought he was going to be a sailor on the high seas, but at boot camp, they counted them off, and 1, 2, 3, 4, all the fours over here, you're now medical corpsman. So he went through medical corpsman school, and then he was sent overseas to the South Pacific, and he was assigned to the Marine Corps, and he could wear the uniform of a Marine or a Navy person, and he spent the duration of the war in Okinawa, New Guinea, New Caledonia, all the hot spots, taking care of battlefield injuries. It was very grueling. And later on, when I graduated from medical school and did my residency in internal medicine and came to work for the VA in 1982 in Sacramento, later on my father, who since passed away, used to get his medical care at our facility in Martinez. And I always wanted every veteran to get the same care that I wanted for my father, and I knew that every veteran who comes in to access VA services has a spouse, a son, a daughter, a loved one who wants that person to get the best care, and I want every veteran to get the same kind of care I wanted for my father. And most of our VA employees have a connection like that. We're very blessed with a very unique mission to care for him who shall have borne the battle, and for his widow and his orphan, as Abraham Lincoln has said.
Thanks, Doctor. Hey, what would you, could you give us a quick one on the state of the health care for the veterans in this economy? Because the economy is just, you know, as you know, is in the doldrums.
Well, Carl, in fact, we're the exception to the general rule. First off, we're working for the federal government, which is providing a stimulus to get the economy going. Plus, we're in healthcare, which is a growing area, and even in the private sector has been an area of growth. Our budget has actually gone up, and we've added a significant number of new employees over the last 3 years. The Congress has been very good to us. Congressman Herger is a big supporter of veterans' issues. Our budget has grown because of our returning servicemen and women from Iraq and Afghanistan. We've been given significant number of new dollars to, particularly for mental health services, for suicide prevention, for treatment of depression, for post-traumatic stress disorder. In fact, in the last 3 years, we've added something like 60 new dedicated clinical positions throughout our system to take care of the mental health needs of our patients. Plus, we're adding a new mental health locked acute inpatient psychiatric ward at our Sacramento clinic that's already our hospital that's already opened, and this summer we're opening another ward with the Air Force at David Grant Medical Center in Fairfield.
That leads to a question about post-traumatic stress. I've got a couple questions about that. That I've read a few things that said that post-traumatic stress disorder, which of course it's not just for combat, it can be anything, a car wreck or whatever, may be a little bit overblown in the sense that so many people are being judged to have this, with just you know, maybe one person talking to one person that actually at one time Congress was going to go back and revisit it to take a look at all the post-traumatic stress diagnoses.
Well, I don't think that it's overblown. The studies have shown that upwards to 25% of our returning servicemen and women bear scars from their combat time, and you do hear people raise that question. And VA nationally is looking at the ratings across the country to make sure that there are not inequities. You may have heard that in certain states there's a higher rate of individuals who are found service-connected for mental health disorders, and we want to iron out the inequities, but there is no question that many of our returning servicemen and women have been through hellish experience and bear the scars, and we want to make sure first that they get the medical care they need, and then if they have been permanently injured, that they get the service-connected compensation for it.
Okay, thanks, Doc. Hey, we're going to take a quick break here, and we're going to come back. We're going to talk about insurance problems that our veterans are having and a number of other issues that will affect our veterans here in the North State. This is Carl Lindebot, Free Fire Radio, News Talk 1400 KQMS. Hey, welcome back to Free Fire Radio here on News Talk 1400 KQMS. This portion of the show brought to you by Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive. Finest tobacco emporium in the state. In fact, I was enjoying one of their products out of that great humidor they have there last night. You know, sit there with that little glass of Jack and water.
And a gazillion birds and that gazillion, are bonsai, what?
Yeah, that's another story we're going to talk about.
Leaving
that little black
cards.
Birds. I feel like it was in a movie, a bad movie last night. Hey, they got the finest tobacco emporium, and they have Espresso Joe's. And Joe and Shelley, you know what? Joe and Shelley help the veterans. Joe and Shelley stand up for the veterans, and it's kind of great that they're one of our sponsors because we do a lot of work with the veterans here. Okay, Dr. O'Neill. One of the things we wanted to talk to you about, too, is TRICARE. And the sense that people that are medically retired, veterans are medically retired on TRICARE, or from the service get TRICARE until age 65 and it switches to Medicare. There's many doctors do not accept TRICARE. And then at age 65, we're finding is our veterans who went from TRICARE to Medicare, many doctors are not accepting Medicare. This seems to be a growing problem. And when I went to Herger and Boxer and Feinstein, they just acted like, oh, never heard of this before. You have any comments on that?
Well, unfortunately, you're right. It is a serious problem, and it's likely to get worse before it gets better because the Medicare reimbursement rates have consistently gone down over the years as the budget has been inadequate to meet all of the needs, and so more and more of the physicians who previously accepted Medicare or TRICARE are now declining to do it because it doesn't cover their expenses, which means that those patients who rely on that coverage have fewer and fewer choices or they have to go greater distances, and it's a very unfortunate situation.
Well, you know, it's... And what I find just abhorrent is that our elected representatives have chosen not to address this. I mean, I don't know what it's going to take, people. I don't know if we have to write letters to Wally Herger and to Feinstein and Boxer and say, hey, look, what's going on with Medicare? What's going on with TRICARE? You know, veterans who have given their all for this country can't even be seen by the doctors that they, you know, let's face it, they were out in the walls. They didn't go to medical school. They were out there getting their butt shot, you know, that they can't even be seen. And it's not a VA problem. This is not something that Dr. O'Neill could fix, because I know he would if he could. This is something our elected representatives need to fix. Emily, good morning.
Good morning. This is a little off the subject, but I have a family member who's was in a submarines. You have the number. Could I have access to it, please?
What number is
that? For the submariners, you that they have here.
Oh, okay, for the cuttlefish.
There you got it.
Hey, I tell you what, if you call this number, 241-2682, that's my office number.
Okay.
And then you just leave that message, and we will get back to you with that number, because I know that Commander Gibson is probably listening today.
Wonderful.
In fact, if he calls in, he could probably give you that number, or somebody from the Cuttlefish Association.
Real good. Swell. Thanks a whole bunch.
You bet.
All right.
Dr. O'Neill, can we address, earlier at the break, Carl was talking about the emails that he gets from post-traumatic stress disorder or whatever the problem is that those returning from the most current war get treatment first.
Linda, thank you for bringing that up. I think there's a little bit of a misperception here, and I appreciate the opportunity to clarify. there's been a huge emphasis on the need to make sure our returning servicemen and women get prompt services, and we have very strict measures by which we have to satisfy about how quickly patients get in. The truth is, though, that we've improved our access so much that there's readily available appointments for the services that we offer here in Reading. For example, we have a mandate in primary care that 99.5% of all our patients, both new patients and established patients, get an appointment when they want within 30 days. And we consistently meet that measure. In fact, we usually have openings available within 20 days in primary care. And if a patient needs to be seen urgently, we have a way to get the patient in within a day or two. So we do work very hard to get all our patients in quickly, whether they're a returning Iraqi or Afghanistan veteran. And I don't think you'll find a difference anymore between our returning servicemen and women and our Vietnam veterans, our World War II veterans, our Korean veterans. If you need an appointment, we get you in quickly.
Okay.
Hey,
Jim.
Yeah, Carl, Jim Gibson.
Yeah, Jim. What's that phone number?
Well, you can get me at 245-4492 or our secretary, Pat Taldino, at 244-9882.
Okay, that's why I figured that somebody would be calling with that number quick. So the number is 225-4492.
245-4492.
245, got it.
And the other one was 244-9882. That's our secretary.
All right. Hey, thank you so much, Commander.
One other thing. If anybody wants to know, I'm a strong supporter of that VA clinic. They are wonderful. They've always been wonderful to me.
Great. Thanks a lot, Commander. Carlin DeBott, Free Fire Radio, News Talk 1400 KQMS. Hey, welcome back to Free Fire Radio here on News Talk 1400 KQMS. Phone lines here at 221-1402. You know, when I hear the news like that, that I'm glad all those that $1 trillion we put out to all these mortgage companies, these banks, and the, you know, the big businesses have gone to save our homes. But then I just hear is that the rate of foreclosure has gone up again. So, you know, that really worked. You know, does anybody mind in a store over this? Okay, Dr. O'Neill. Going back to this, how many people do we see here at the VA clinics here in Reading?
Between Reading and Chico in the north area, we see about 15,000 patients who are actually coming in and receiving medical care.
15,000?
Yes.
Is that a year or a month?
That's 15,000 a year.
Okay, total? Okay.
Yes. There are about 360,000 veterans in our primary service area, and we are seeing about 70,000 throughout the system. About a quarter are in the North State area.
Here's some good news. You have a new piece of equipment that's arriving this summer.
We do. After lo these many years, we've been successful at getting a new CT scanner, which is going to be installed, which will allow our patients to get immediate CT services right here in the Reading Clinic, save a lengthy trip, allow our doctors to provide immediate care to these patients. This is a big plus. It's the latest in a long series of additional services that we've been adding since 1988 when we started with 13 employees and 5,000 square feet.
And also, you said this week is Nurse Appreciation Week.
It is. That's a very important part of what we do. About 40% of all our employees are nurses. We have around 700 nurses in our system, and it's a very competitive environment for recruiting and retaining high-quality nurses. We value our nurses immensely, and we have a tradition of recognizing our nurses on an annual basis, and for that reason, in these 6-7 days, I'm traveling to all our locations and recognizing our nurses. We provide very nice reception for them with a meal, and we acknowledge what they do for us and our patients.
Isn't that great? I think you said there's 9 VA hospitals?
We have 9 different locations, soon to be 10 in the North State. We're opening this summer a new VA access point in Yreka, so we'll have Yreka, Reading, Chico, We're opening a clinic in Yuba City, Marysville. We've got McClellan and Mather, and then in the East Bay, we've got Fairfield, Mare Island, Martinez, Oakland, and the Oakland Army Base. And those are all places to bring care closer to our patients.
That's wonderful. So you've been on a major road trip.
That's right, and I love it.
That probably explains the sweatshirt that the good doctor's wearing. It says, beside every good VA doctor is a great VA nurse.
Hey, it takes a team.
It sure does.
Now, the veterans home. I don't know if you have a lot to do with the veterans home here, doctor, but I know you know about it because we've discussed it before. It looks like it's on track. Is that what I understand?
Carl, yes, the veterans home is a state veterans home. It's a little bit outside my jurisdiction, but what you and your listeners should know is that the VA supports the construction, 60% of the construction. The federal government provides 60% of the dollars to build it, and then we provide a daily reimbursement for the care of the patients once they're enrolled there. Now, the timeline for the state veterans home, which I believe currently stands at opening in December of 2011, is going to be very much dependent on state funding. And that's not my area of expertise, but I think we all know that the state is in a crisis mode. So we'll have to see whether it comes online or whether it'll be dependent on the on the economic recovery.
Well, you know, this is one of the things that just, you know, frost my butt. You know, you put this money aside, you know, you take care of people, and then you spend billions and billions of dollars on wasteful things, on people that shouldn't, that are here legally, that you spend, you know, and I don't want to get into this now because that's not what the subject we're talking about is, but, you know, isn't it funny though that every time that there needs to be a hit, you know, it's a veteran someplace out there, or somebody that's serving their country is the one that takes it because they don't have a union. You know, maybe if they had a union, it might be different. But then again, that would be the worst thing in the world, too.
What do you see changing, if you don't mind? Well, first of all, I think Carl and I both would like to express our gratitude because the nurses of the VA, whenever I've accompanied you, Carl, to the VA clinic here, the nurses have been so wonderfully helpful and really great bedside manner.
Yeah, I mean, I've had nothing but I can speak for having nothing but good things happen. Good, like, I hate to use the word service, but good attendance there. You know, the doctor and everything.
Let me elaborate, Carl. Our nurses are a full part of our treatment team. Our doctors are highly trained professionally. We want them to do the things that only physicians can do. Our nurses do much case management. They contact the patients. They communicate with the patients. We now have the ability for our patients to connect with our doctors online through the VA's computer system. We have an electronic medical record. The nurses are heavily involved in what we call chronic disease management, bringing our patients in and making sure our diabetic patients are getting all the interventions that they need. They are full partners in our medical care teams.
Well, from your professional opinion, I'm sure many of our listeners, many of whom are veterans, what is something that we need to look for this next year as far as, and I want to use the term lack of, but perhaps some bumps in the road that we can figure out how to navigate around that are inevitable to be there with healthcare?
Well, I think the primary message that I would like to get out to your listeners, and thank you both for the opportunity to get this message out, is that the VA is here for our veteran patients. We are the safety net. We are the umbrella. And when the economy tanks, the VA is still here. If you need medical care, if you're a veteran, if you haven't been treated before, or if you have, come on in, bring your DD-214, your discharge papers, so that we can get you enrolled. The VA has had a cap on the numbers of patients who can be treated based on their income level. That cap is going to be raised this summer. That was one of the commitments that the new secretary made so that more veterans can be treated. For veterans who have an income above a certain level, it's about $25,000 or $27,000 with one dependent, in order to be treated, if they're not service-connected, they may have to pay co-pays. They take a means test. And what I want to say to you is if something has changed in your condition, you've not been eligible for care because your income was too high and you've lost your house or something, come in and see us so that we can repeat your means test. And I have the ability to do a waiver if you're in an emergency situation and need medical care.
You know, what they're doing is reaching out, everybody, to our
That's
veterans
great.
To help them, as they should, because sometimes we're going to talk about that when we get back. We got to take a quick break. But, John, we're going to get back to you as soon as we finish shamelessly plugging products so we can stay on the air. Carl Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio, News Talk 1400, KQMS.
Welcome back. I know Carl wanted to jump in on that one. This is Carl and Linda Bott here on Free Fire Radio, News Talk 1400 KQMS. The number here is 221-1402. We have the good doctor in the house. Yes.
John, good morning.
Good morning, Carl, Linda, and Dr. Irvin, is it?
No, O'Brien.
O'Brien.
I'm sorry. O'Neill.
It's
Brian O'Neill.
Brian O'Neill.
Like
nice
the
to
skis.
Meet you, doctor. Listen,
hi, John.
I just wanted to call. It's a straightforward endorsement of the healthcare system in the VA healthcare system in general, and the Reading VA Medical Clinic specifically. My experience has been exceptional, just great. I mean, I can't ask for anything better as far as healthcare. I want to acknowledge Dr. Sherby, Dr. Lou Sherby. He's the most interactive doctor I've ever had. I mean, I can talk to this guy. I'm comfortable with him. He responds to what's wrong with me and works back and forth with me better than any doctor I ever had. Now, I wanted to plug the Health Vet System. This is really an important thing. It's an online presence for health care and management through the VA. You have to go in and do a self-identification at the business office there. You fill out a little form, and you can go online and research your own records. You can find out what's going on in regards to the tests they've given you and what you need to maintain your own health. And there's a whole system in there for taking care of yourself and trying to extend your well-being all the way through. Fantastic program.
What's
I
that?
Just want to commend you guys, Doctor. It's great in there.
What's that website, John?
It's MyHealthVet, MHV, MyHealthVet.com. I think Dr. O'Neill could probably tell you more about it than I can. But it's a simple sign-up process that you do in the business office there at the clinic. And I'm telling you, it's got fantastic. You can renew your prescriptions. You can see the tests that you've taken. And there's interactive programs there for maintaining information about what your food system should be, if you're diabetic, if you need medication for this or that, or what you need to do for your blood pressure, if you have heart issues. It helps you all the way through.
John, I don't even have to say a thing. I should be paying you for the commercial. Thank you very much for bringing that up, and I think most of our listeners know that VA has the best electronic medical record in the country today throughout the entire country. Completely electronic, and we do have a way for our veterans, as John said, to communicate with their doctors through the My Healthy Vet program.
The care you guys are giving us is fantastic, and it's more than appreciated, believe me.
Thanks a lot, John.
Okay, you guys have a great day.
You bet.
Thanks.
Sissy, good morning.
Hi, good morning. I'm a veterans advocate, and to Dr. O'Neill, the last caller does present much of the kind of comments that I get from veterans in this area. So I do want to say thank you for running such a well-organized clinic.
Well, we got to bring up Pete Privitz in this too, Sissy, because Pete's in charge of it. But Dr. O'Neill is the one that's kind of above everybody here.
Okay. Well, you had mentioned about the state home, the veteran state home.
Yeah.
Funds are secured for this home. But there has been a delay. It will be delayed for a period of time, short period of time, due to some contractual difficulties, but those have now been worked out. And in regards to any concerns relating to our veterans whereby you would like to contact a congressman, please know that Congressman Filner is extremely proactive and has worked diligently with us in creating a current bill. It's called it's to help recognize other veterans that did not serve in country in Vietnam that were actually exposed to dioxin, such as Thailand. That's a big, huge issue. At any rate, a bill has been introduced, and it also will be covering a subject with regards to our naval veterans who were pulled out of the Agent Orange Act in 2002. So Congressman Filner, he was actually extremely surprised that these men were not covered under the Agent Orange Act. They all seem to be under the impression that our veterans are from that particular era. So this was a real learning experience for him. He is on board. He is working hard with our veterans, and kudos to him. But if you have concerns, that's the office I would contact.
And okay, Congressman Filner is representing the 51st District, I believe.
Doesn't matter. He's on board with all of us.
Okay, great. Hey, Sissy, thanks. Is this first time you called, Sissy?
I've called many times in the past with regard to veterans issues, and I work worldwide, actually, with our veterans. We have a lot of veterans still overseas from the Vietnam conflict.
Right.
Worldwide, I'm, but well, thank, especially nationwide.
Well, Sissy, thanks a whole lot for what you do.
Thank you.
We appreciate it.
Have a good day.
You
thank
too.
You so much.
Hey, we're going to take a quick break here. When we come back, Charlie's on the line, and a couple other lines are lighting up. Our guest is Dr. O'Neill, who heads up the Northern California healthcare system for the Veterans Administration. Carl and the Bot, Free Fire Radio on News Talk 14. Hey, welcome back to Free Fire Radio here on News Talk 1400 KQMS. Okay, let's go to the phones. Charlie, good morning.
Good morning. I'm a medically retired vet, and one of the things that I keep hearing is the emphasis on communications between the veterans and the various clinics. Well, what has happened with the telephone system up here is the telephone and the automatic systems that they're connected to or have been set up to act as a firewall to prevent person-to-person communication. There's also the emphasis on the Internet. Specifically, I am a chronic pain patient, and there was a major foul-up in my medication. And there was, I did manage to finally get to the operator at the Northern Clinic, and I was told by the operator specifically that he was told that I could not be connected directly to the pharmacy to help try and mitigate my situation. I had to literally come into the clinic physically, walk up to the window before I could find out, yes, they had messed things up. They did take care of things promptly, but the lack of communication, especially through voice, is a severe problem.
Well, Charlie, on behalf of the VA clinic here, I apologize to you. We do have a telephone service 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, where you can call in and talk to a pharmacist generally, get your medications refilled, and if you have a problem with your medication, talk to a pharmacist. I'm not sure what happened in your circumstance. The system does exist. Sounds like there was a problem of some kind. I'm glad it was fixed. I'd like to delve into it a little bit deeper to find out what it is. We are looking at our telephone program and trying to improve upon it, but there is an ability for patients to refill their prescriptions online or to call in and talk to a pharmacist if you're having a medication reaction or to get a refill. So I'm glad you got taken care of, and you know, at another occasion, I'd like to hear more about what happened.
Well, perhaps I'll come in and speak with you directly.
Thank you, Charlie.
Hey, Charlie, thanks for the phone call, because you know, I had to call one time, and I ended up talking to a pharmacist on that line, and because I, as usual, I'm late in getting things done, and so they could fix my, you know, fix the prescription I had. But one of the things is that it's an 800 number, and it takes you down to Mather, and you can't just call directly to the clinic. It's very difficult to do that, which is one of the problems I see.
Well, one of the other problems is with pain clinic patients. You can't call. You do not deal directly with the 800 number. You deal directly with the clinic up here. And as I said, this phone system seems to have been set up as a firewall to prevent or to protect.
Well, this is the right man to talk to.
Clinic from direct contact.
Well, this is the right man to talk to. Thanks a lot, Charlie.
Thank you.
Don, just got a minute.
Yes, good morning. I'd like to recommend compliments to the nurse practitioners that staff the Veterans Administration. I heard earlier they were talking about nurses and physicians, but nurse practitioners are a huge proportion of the primary care, I won't say physicians, but providers there, and they do a marvelous job. They're very well trained, very tenured, very experienced.
Thank you. We have wonderful nurse practitioners. You know, we have Jolene Swanson, Leanne Arnett, Dave Denny, and a number of others. They do a great job. They're full members of our treatment team?
My wife and I both go there for our health care. We know them both, and they're excellent clinicians.
Well, thank you. I will pass that on today.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Don.
Bye.
I have one last question here. I already warned him about it. What in the hell was President Obama thinking about when he asked our veterans to be patriotic and to have their war wounds or wounds suffered in combat taken care of by private insurance companies?
I guess I want to say thank you for bringing that up, but I'm not sure that I really want to say that, Carl. What the proposal was, and I think all of us would agree, is that it was very ill-advised, was that if you were service-connected and you had third-party insurance, that the VA could bill your third-party insurance payer. It wouldn't have affected you one way or the other, but I think we all realize that it was dead on arrival. It should have been dead on arrival. It never should have been done. We're not interested in balancing the federal budget on the backs of our service-connected veterans, our war heroes, our combat veterans, and that received the reception that it deserved, and it was dead on arrival.
Yeah, well, you know what? It just shows his lack of being in touch with veterans and veterans' issues, as far as I was concerned, unlike you and the people that support us out here.
That's it.
Hey, we'd like to really thank you for being here, Dr. O'Neill.
Well, I appreciate the opportunity. I always look forward to coming back to connect with your listeners. You know, the veterans of Northern California are the backbone of our state. We're here to make sure you get the medical care that you have earned and you deserve, and come in and see us. Thank you for the opportunity to be here.
Thank you
for being here.
Well, you know, we need to make sure is that we count all the veterans and reiterate what the doctor said about even if you're not seeking treatment right there, get signed up so we can make sure we have the funds. This is Carl Lindebott on Free Fire Radio. Just remember, it's the good guys against the bad guys. Which are you?